Hello and welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. I'm Travis, your host, and today we're going to talk about how the student loan vibes are off, and it's concerning. I'm going to tell you what we know. I'm going to tell you what's going on latest with the legal stuff that's out there, and I don't want you to panic or worry because there's always solutions. There's always strategies. There's always workarounds around everything. This is still very early. There's not even a final ruling out that I have to talk to you about today. This is just a ruling on a motion for clarification. So this is not a, oh my gosh, this is a five-alarm fire, but it's also something that is, I think, kind of like indicative. It's not indicative like a horrible B-movie and there's really terrible acting and everybody wants you to know what's about to happen next in the plot because they don't want you to be as scared. But it's the kind of thing where we need to tip you off that there might be something happening soon on student loans that's going to be pretty shocking and pretty ridiculous, I think, in a lot of ways. So we're going to talk about what this all means. Just for background, the Eighth Circuit is hearing this case that was appealed from the Eastern District Court of Missouri. That judge was a judge appointed by President Obama. This appeals court is a group that's completely appointed by Republican presidents. And this is the same court that was a part of the decision that struck down student loan cancellation in Biden v. Nebraska. So this is a very conservative-leaning court, right? We've talked about this in this pod before. And specifically, the thing that we're talking about right now is with this particular court, you're looking for them tipping their hand. You're looking for them to give you clues as to what their eventual ruling will be. And the motion, there was a temporary motion for an injunction that was granted, and it was granted with like a one-sentence type of order of just essentially, yes, the whole thing that the Republican plaintiffs were suing over was granted, which means like everything's frozen about the SAVE plan, all of it, the entire new SAVE plan rule, which is like 400 pages, right? That's what caused administrative forbearance to not count towards forgiveness because that administrative forbearance part is in that rule. And so you can't count administrative forbearance when that entire SAVE plan rule is frozen. Then there's other parts of a different rule about PSLF that was done a year before that that's not being sued over. So things like PSLF buyback, new definitions around what qualifies for a qualifying employer for PSLF. Those things are not included in this SAVE plan rules. That stuff is safe right now. When we're thinking about what exactly happened where this is cause for concern, so the Eighth Circuit granted the preliminary injunction, not just a temporary emergency injunction. So what that means is they're saying that the emergency injunction is just like a very temporary thing. And then the preliminary injunction pending litigation is basically like, no matter how long it takes, everything's frozen. And in that order, they said, and the Eighth Circuit said, everything's frozen until either we say so or until the Supreme Court says so. So even if the Tenth Circuit, which is being listening to a different case about the SAVE plan, even if the Tenth Circuit hears a court case and comes to a different conclusion, such as like the SAVE plan's totally fine, why is everybody complaining? So the Eighth Circuit is saying that you don't unfreeze and offer the SAVE plan fully to everybody again until we say so. That's what this granting of the preliminary injunction means. Now, the concerning part is the Biden administration filed a motion for clarification, basically saying, hey, you said SAVE is not okay. Can you please like clarify what you mean? We think you just mean that SAVE is not okay, but everything else is fine. All the other parts of our order, the 400 pages of regulations we issued, those are totally fine. It's just the SAVE plan that you're right now not comfortable with. So can you clarify that so we can turn on all the other portions of the student loan system, like consolidation, like accepting IDR plans for other plans, and possibly even counting administrative forbearance. Now, if you are thinking through this from a partisan lens, this is very clever of the Biden administration because what they were trying to do is they're trying to get this very conservative Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals to bless everything else they did. They're trying to get them to wall off just a narrow part of those 400 pages regulations and say, hey, the SAVE plan's not okay, which is a big part of it. But there's a lot of other things they did that by, you know, saying, hey, we're okay with the rest of this, that would allow them to lock in a lot of their gains. But what happened is instead of clarifying their decision on this injunction, the conservative court, by the requested deadline the government requested, what they did instead is they waited past the deadline, and then this court came out with another one-sentence order that was basically like, no. It just literally said the motion to clarify is denied. Okay. Now, they made it very clear, the Biden administration did, in this order, like they're like, hey, we need you to tell us what you mean, because otherwise the entire student loan system's frozen and we can't do anything. And so they were really pushing hard for this court to give them an idea of what exactly they meant by their injunction order, pausing everything, and the court wouldn't budge. The court, basically, the way I look at this is just my opinion, I feel like the court was essentially saying, screw you. I think this court thinks that what the Biden administration is doing is one of the most flagrantly illegal actions that administration could ever do. And this is what I think the court is thinking. This court is looking at this as, okay, let's say that President Trump tries to spend $10 billion of unauthorized funds on a border wall that, you know, would raise concerns on the Democratic side, but President Biden tries to spend $400 billion on student loan forgiveness through a back door after getting his initial cancellation effort blocked, trying to go through the SAVE plan to get it done, and that is just as legal. So then this is me saying what I think that this very conservative-leaning court is thinking, right, based off of some of their words and, you know, choices of words and saying things like that. Now, the reason why that's very concerning is when you make a court very upset or frustrated, right, they could come down pretty hard. And I think that that is possibly what this court in particular might be about to do. Now, what do I mean by come down very hard? So they're attacking or look to be attacking the idea that the ICR statute allows forgiveness in the first place. What do I mean by that? The pay and the repay plans were created by President Obama specifically through this ICR law. There's the ICR law, which defines things very loosey-goosey, and there's the IBR law that defines things very precisely. So the ICR statute just says, you know, that the Department of Ed may make up plans that require no more than 20% of income and no more than 25 years of repayment. Well, Democratic administrations always view that to mean they can pay people, they can ask people to pay as little as they want. The IBR law says precisely you're going to pay 15% of your income for 25 years if you borrowed your first loan before 2014 and 10% of your income for 20 years if you borrowed after 2014. And you also have PSLF that you can do. So the IBR law, income-based repayment, that is a very defined plan. So if courts come down as hard as they possibly can on all of the different income-driven repayment plans, everyone still has IBR to fall back on. The ICR statute, this has never been challenged by any Republican administration, elected official, or anything. This has always been something that even when they talk about reforming the student loan system and ending all other IBR plans except for one, this carve-out for repay and pay has always existed under every proposal I've ever seen from Republican congressional bills or even majority-minority leaders. This has always been something, you know, Trump administration plans. So grandfathering in has always been the precedent. This court potentially could be trying to change the game and say that, wait a second, this ICR statute is illegal. Or this ICR statute is around, you can offer it, but it does not allow you to grant forgiveness. So think about what that means, right? Imagine the repay and the pay plans, you're allowed to be on them, but you can't grant forgiveness under them. This is the concern. This is what people need to be aware of, concerned about, just very much following this case because of the real dangers there. So imagine a world where it is IBR or bust. Right? That is a world that the Eighth Circuit could impose on us, depending on how long it takes them to rule and what their ruling ends up being. Now, is that really concerning? Sure, it is. But remember, the Eighth Circuit doesn't have the final say. The Supreme Court has the final say. Now, if you were to see the pay and the repay plans tossed by this court, you'd see an outcry that is probably one of the loudest you've ever seen in terms of student loan policy. And you would have a lot of very intense arguments made at the Supreme Court. Hey, listen, this is a huge change. These plans are written into promissory notes. People signed contracts on these laws. People went to school based off of these IDR plans. The projected cost of the repay plan was only $18 billion. You cannot roll this back. That is arbitrary. And what is the word they use? Arbitrary and capricious, whatever. I think that's a very unlikely event once the Supreme Court gets involved. What this appeals court's going to do, I have no idea. But it seems like by them just basically, you know, Biden administration tried to word a very friendly, hey, give us this motion to clarify. We just want to understand what your ruling means so we can start implementing things for the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals to say, go pound sand, right? That suggests at a minimum that this court is going to come down hard on the SAVE plan and say that it's illegal. So, I mean, again, this is just another indication that it really feels like the SAVE plan is toast. And it feels like we're just waiting around until they rule that way. Now, again, this, you know, injunction, this lasts until they make a ruling. And so the question is, well, when would they make a ruling? When would they say something? Now, I think that in some part, the political calendar could come into play here. So we are expecting, you know, the final regulations for the Biden interest cancellation program to come out in October. Now, that could be a big deal. That basically cancels all accrued interest to people are below like 125K single income or 250K joint. And then it would cancel some accrued interest if your income is over that. So this is a huge program. And the problem is they make people automatically eligible for a lot of the things they did also in the IDR account adjustment, like automatic FFE loan cancellation, that even for people that didn't participate and consolidate their loans. So this is going to draw those same legal challenges. And, you know, these courts have already said that certain state agencies, some of these FFELP agencies, which are the government loans that are guaranteed or the guarantee by the government borrowed by private lenders, one of the Republican-led states is going to sue. As soon as this comes out in October, they're going to get an emergency injunction against that program. And then it's just going to be a TBD on that program as well. But with student loans being so much in the news, I think that it's probably most likely we won't get a ruling until after the election. But, you know, it's possible that we'll get one before just because of the urgency of trying to figure this out. And what that means is you might have a multi-month period of forbearance potentially. We need to buckle in and be prepared for that. Now, I don't know how long the Department of Education can continue to break the law and not offer the IBR plan to borrowers. That is against the law. It is specifically in the law that the IBR plan is allowed. And Department of Ed, I think, is just dragging their feet, hoping this will all go away, hoping that they can continue to spend their resources doing their preferred projects instead of what the law requires them to do. I think that it is important to think about this. Whose fault is it? It doesn't matter. It's hurting borrowers, right? I think that it's very fair to say, okay, well, this court is going to go back potentially on years of precedent, you know, IDR plans that have been around a long time. And they haven't done that, by the way. This is just speculation. That's really messed up, right? I would agree with that statement. And another statement, I would also say, hey, the Biden administration, by trying to push the envelope so much, could have made an IDR plan that's a little bit less eyebrow raising and maybe gotten that through. But instead, you go for the $400 billion IDR plan, and then that draws all this attention. And now, more moderate plans like Pay and Repay are now under the limelight in a way they weren't during the Obama administration. So if you think about who brought more relief to borrowers, certainly the Biden administration. If you think about who had a system that was more ordered, you'd have to say the Obama administration in terms of the way student loans have been managed. I mean, it's really been a big mess. You could rightfully put a lot of blame on the courts, but I think that what happens also is just the Department of Education, at least this Department of Education, doesn't really like to admit anything or admit mistakes or admit, hey, we could have done things better, or hey, maybe we should do things a little bit differently. You know, it's just sort of like the servicers are evil and they're not very good, right? Let's be honest, right? But I guess I get frustrated with the whole freaking system because it's all just pointing fingers and hey, it's not my fault, it's this guy's fault, and it's just nobody wants to take ownership. So I'm sorry, you know, if you disagree with some of the stuff, I understand, like, you know, everybody's got their opinion about who's to blame in this situation, and that probably doesn't help anything. It's just helpful to vent. I mean, I invited people on one of our lives, you know, on our Instagram page, Student Loan Planner Instagram page, just to share like your comments and your venting, and like, you know, people just went off. It's been a very frustrating experience for everybody, but this too shall pass, and this will become something else. Something else about the student loan system will change or break, and it always does. You know, if you do have to pivot your strategy, we just have to wait and see, right? I think, you know, if you think about 0% interest, well, at least your loans are frozen. Yes, you might not be getting IDR credit, but at least your loans are frozen. And with PSLF buyback, you can undo this frozen period at a later date. You just have to be keeping good records of what your payment would have been under the various income-driven plans that exist. Specifically, I would keep track of what it would have been under income-based repayment, IBR. This is, like I said, a difficult time, but there are still ways to save money. So you still need to be aware of how you're filing your taxes. You need to be aware of double debt consolidation kind of strategies, with double consolidation strategies, with Parent Plus stuff. You need to be aware of just in general, like payoff versus forgiveness kind of things. You need to be aware of like, how do you do the PSLF buyback and those sorts of things. So if you need any help with that, obviously you can go to studentloanplanner.com/book. And then also, if you want to ask your questions about what's going on right now with this absolute mess of a situation, you can go to studentloanplanner.com/voicemail. So I just think that this is a frustrating time. It's helpful, healthy event. If you want to call in and leave the voicemail, studentloanplanner.com/voicemail, and just share some of your frustrations about your servicers, about the legal problems with Save, about some of the things that you were promised, you know, in your promissory notes, whatever you want to share, questions or comments. We'll probably play some of those in an upcoming pod episode. So anyways, hope you have a great week, and thank you for listening to the Stu Lone Planner podcast.